talk sports with guys in the know.
It's embarrassing. I mean, are they not embarrassed?
It's time for Baskin and Phelps. Cleveland's Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
Browns fans, congratulations. Congratulations, Browns fans. So many Browns fans were rooting for it, and by golly, it's happened. Peyton is coming to Cleveland. How about that?
It's amazing how that works out.
Peyton coming to Cleveland.
Yeah, it's nice to see.
Cut that meat.
Absolutely.
Wrong Peyton.
What?
Peyton Watson.
Oh, you got me all fired up.
He's coming to Cleveland.
Oh, my word.
How about that?
Well, I guess if you present it like that, it's still good, but you're going to give me that leadoff.
That work?
Okay.
Sitting on the couch last night watching Con Air. Couldn't make it to the end of it. Watching Con
Air.
Sorry
to hear that. John Malkovich is so good in there.
No, he's phenomenal, and Nicolas Cage couldn't do a worse Southern accent.
Oh, God, that accent is... The only one that's worse might be his accent in Raising Arizona, but that's for a different...
It was just bad. But all of a sudden, pops up Peyton Watson, Cavaliers. They make a trade, and a big trade. It was. Welcome to Baskin and Phelps. Baskin is out today. Menigan is in. Kayla Colejohn's behind the glass. MK, Matt Corrali... It's taking your phone calls at 216-474-0092. We have a couple of MKs here. Meredith Kane just did a 2020. Cavs pull off this deal. And the way these things work in the NBA, remember the Dennis Schroeder trade? All right, well, that thing got lumped in. And so it ends up being a five-team trade. Cavs give up Max Strus, Dennis Schroeder, and a 2031 unprotected first-round draft choice. And they end up with Peyton Watson, young guy from the Denver Nuggets, restricted free agent. They've got to sign him. Apparently they have a four-year, $88 million contract. Rich Paul strikes again.
But
nice job, Rich. Well, it's a good contract.
It's less painful than I thought it would be. I thought we would be starting at an overall salary that begins with a one. This does not.
Well, he's not earned it yet.
Right. But still, we know how these trades go. We know how this works. I mean, goodness knows the amount of those the Miami Heat were handed out for a while for Tyler Johnson.
And... Yeah. I hate to say this because I like him. It looks like they're going to waive Cam Whitmore.
Boo.
Yeah, he's tough. 6'6", now he's dealing with a blood clot in his shoulder. That's frowned upon. And he missed most of the season because of it last year. But he's a tough player. And he's actually had a better NBA career in the first 3 or 4 years of his career. He's been in for 3 and Watson's been in for 4 than Peyton Watson. He's actually been more productive. But Peyton Watson has had the singular best season of those guys. And he answers a lot of needs for the Cavaliers, Dan.
He seems... I have watched a decent amount of Nuggets games because I love watching Nikola Jokic. Like, I just... At least twice a game, Nikola Jokic...
He is your guy.
Nikola Jokic will make a pass at least twice a game where I can't help but start cackling. Like, it's just ridiculous the amount of things that guy can do. At least right now, he is a really good defender. Peyton Watson, you could put him on a point guard, put him on a shooting guard, small forward. He can hang with all of those guys and make their lives a nightmare. Your questions that you had of who's going to guard Jason Tatum, you now have an answer.
Doesn't mean he's going to shut him down, but he's going to guard him.
Right. And he's a darn good defender.
Without question.
Don't think for half a second.
Without question. He's darn. I mean, you're not going to shut down, you know.
He's not Scottie Pippen. Right, you're not looking at anything like that. He's not Kawhi Leonard.
He's as good of a wing defender as you might find in the NBA.
Correct.
There aren't a whole lot that are better.
Yeah.
And he averaged like 1.5 blocks per game last year.
Right. And he can get up, and he's springy as all get out. He's more of a slasher than a shooter at this point in his career, though he can shoot the three. It's just a little more streaky. So I wonder if the Cavs are looking at him and saying, we can try to develop this three-point shot a little bit better. And he's not going to be a guy that's going to stand in the corner and just shoot threes. He can kind of make his own offense. The weird thing with him is he was actually having some of the best numbers of his career when Jokic was off the floor dealing with injury. And it was no Jokic, no Murray, and no Christian Braun. And he was putting up really good numbers last year until he yanked a hamstring.
I like it. He's 6'8". Peyton Watson is 6'8". He is really athletic. He's springy. Means he's got a lot of hops. Blocks a lot of shots for a wing guy. Explosive. And last year, shot 41% on threes. So, congratulations. That's well done. You give up Max Strus in this deal. Max goes to the Los Angeles Clippers in this deal, where he'll be reunited with Darius Garland. Isn't that nice?
It's lovely.
That's a nice thing. The Peyton Watson deal is this. He's young. He turns 24 in September. So, you know, his career's ahead of him. He's 6'8", four seasons in Denver. The only issue I have on this a little bit, Dan, and it's just a little bit. I'm just trying to be devil's advocate and look at different things here. Peyton Watson, though last year he was really good, he averaged over 14 points a game. He averaged almost 5 rebounds a game. He averaged a little over 2 assists per game. Everything he did last year was a career high. Everything, it seems. He did miss a bunch of games. He played in only 54. But it took him into, and it's okay, it took him into his fourth year to really establish himself as somebody who, ooh, that guy can really help us. In other words, it just took a while. There's nothing wrong with developing, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, a young guy coming along. He's only, again, going to turn 24 coming up here. But he got paid really based on the production of one season, where it was a build-up and a growth process through the first three, and then in the fourth, he was ready to go and much improved. The Cavs are banking on that one season not being an aberration, banking on it being a trend. And I don't blame them. I think I would, too.
The eye test would tell you that this was a good investment to make. He's one of those guys you could...
I'd agree with that.
You could pull up the playoff numbers from previous years, and the playoff numbers you'll look at and go, oh my God, this guy's terrible. Well, if you actually turn the game on and then watch the game itself, you'll go, this guy's everywhere playing defense. They're just funneling an offense through Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, and Aaron Gordon is getting his cutting points and all of that kind of stuff. And at that point, Michael Porter Jr. was getting his shots along the way as well. Cam Johnson last year when he was healthy. Like, he was definitely option 4, if not 5, in any given option in
well,
any given season.
Then he'll fit right in here.
Right. That's kind of part of it. And he can find his own shot off the dribble, which he showed when all of those guys were out, and he was able to score a little bit. Again, I cannot state this enough. I would not call him a 3-and-D guy. He shot 41% from 3, but we're only talking
career high, other than a rookie year where he didn't play very much.
We're only talking 3.6 attempts. So it's not like we're dealing with a large sample size of like a guy almost like a Klay Thompson, where you would be like, you stand over there and you just light it up. He's not that. He needs the ball in his hands. He's a little bit more of a slasher. So that's going to be interesting to see how they figure that out. I hope they continue to develop the three-point shot, but still let him be a slasher.
One aspect of this that I think needs to make sure everybody understands, and I think this is a key part of it. You have Evan Mobley at power forward, former defensive player of the year. This gives the Cavs a better defender on the wing than Dean Wade. Would you agree with that? You know, better defender than Dean Wade. And Dean's a pretty good defender.
Dean Wade's an underrated good defender.
Yeah, I know.
Like, surprisingly good.
I
would say he's
More athletic.
He's more athletic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that helps Evan Mobley a little bit on the defensive end. So they're, you know, when James Harden and Donovan Mitchell, you know, turn and say, right this way to the basket, fellas. There's now another guy along with Evan Mobley and Jared Allen.
A fine Olay defense.
Back there to cover up a little bit.
Or
I think that helps.
Or one of my favorites, I forget who said, I think it might have been Barkley, who called it help defense. And by that I mean somebody goes by him and they just go, help!
Well, that's accurate, isn't it?
Very much so.
That's accurate.
And we've watched the two of them play some pretty darn good help defense over the years.
They had Peyton Watson circled, according to all reports. And, you know, if you haven't, go type them into Google, watch some highlights, and you'll see what it is the Cavs are attracted to here. A really athletic guy out on the wing, not really athletic at 6'5", really athletic at 6'8".
Mm-hmm.
That's a difference. It doesn't sound like much, but it's a difference.
By the way, finally. Can we both just take a minute and just say, finally, they went and got somebody who was between 6'7 and 6'10 who could create their own shot and play defense? Finally.
Well, if the Cam Whitmore report that's out there now from Bobby Marks, ESPN, is true and they waive Cam Whitmore, this isn't as legit as it was when I was thinking about it earlier this morning. But I was going to make the little joke. Apparently, Andrew Berry called Kobe Altman and said, hey, look, I needed wide receivers. I just took two early. I got it out of the way. Just jump in and go get those small forwards. Get those guys who can play out on the wing. And Kobe Altman apparently listened because Kobe brought in three. Mario Hezonja.
I'm interested to see what Hezonja looks
like. Peyton Watson. Cam Whitmore. Who apparently is going to get waived.
I know. That's
I know.
I liked him in college, man.
Again, I like his game. You know, think about he's kind of a stocky 6'6", about 225, with an outside shot that's not bad. He can score mid-range, mm-hmm. and he gets to the basket.
He can fill it up.
So, and he's been more productive in his NBA career than Peyton Watson, although Peyton Watson had a nicer year last year than anything that Cam Whitmore's ever had.
Now, the one thing I will say of Cam Whitmore is he kind of has that Russell Westbrook syndrome on any NBA floor he steps onto. He believes he is the best player, and he will show it to you at any point.
In other words, the Jared Verse syndrome.
Yeah, I guess you could throw that
talks
in there,
a great
too, if you
game,
keep that going.
And
yeah.
then backs it up.
Well, Cam Whitmore hasn't backed it up yet.
He's been pretty good.
But I'm not selling stock.
As a 19-year-old, he averaged 12 points a game with Houston Rockets.
I've always liked
him. But they're going to waive him and stretch out his contract, apparently, which will save them money so that they can give it to a 37-year-old point guard. And now the Cavs are, to use one of their expressions from the fabulous marketing campaigns over the years, the Cavs are all in. They give up a 2031, no restricted, no protections, wide open first-round draft pick. After giving up all those picks for Donovan Mitchell and signing Donovan to a contract that runs through 2031. They had Peyton Watson. They had Jonathan Kuminga kind of circled according to all reports. Needed a small forward, right? Well, for the fit on this team, you could make the argument that Peyton Watson's going to be a better fit than Kuminga. Probably because he doesn't need to have the ball in his hands as much. And there are a lot of guys on this Cavs team that need to have the ball in their hands, Dan.
But I wonder if we're going to run into, I hope this isn't the case, a DeAndre Jordan type of situation where...
DeAndre Hunter?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Got my DeAndres confused.
Get
my bad,
DeAndre's
my bad, my
confused.
Bad. I wonder if we run into that situation where you have a guy who never truly feels like he gets into any rhythm in a game because he just doesn't have the ball in his hands.
Well, get ready for 10:40 because we're going to talk about how can this fail.
Oh,
coming up at 10:40.
We'll call that a deep tease then, now, won't we?
You put together the rundown. It says right there, 10:40,
yeah,
how can this fail?
You've talked to me long
at
enough.
At 10:20, it says, how can this succeed?
You've talked to me long enough to know that
we're going optimistic now.
I hardly remember where I parked my car.
Before we go real optimistic, that's true. The mayor's in Brooklyn. Hello, Ken.
Sir?
Good morning.
They make a move, Ken. What do you think?
Well, it was either or, and I understand why they've done some things. Okay, so when you look at who is no longer here, okay, and most of the guys I thought that are no longer here weren't going to be here. The only ones I was surprised about was Dean, and now I can see why they traded Dean, because yep. they wanted a more athletic guy, okay, that they can move around. And I am a little surprised about Strus, but I guess with what has happened the last couple of years and what he's making, they want a younger guy there too. So
and he's in the last year of a deal, Ken.
Yeah. So, you know, who knows what happens at the deadline, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but, you know, you get a little bit bigger, and too bad about Cam, because I thought, like you did, Jeff, I thought he was a pretty good player.
Yeah.
But he's had his health issues.
I'd love to have him on this team, Ken, because if you keep Cam Whitmore, which apparently they're not going to do,
boom.
With Hezonja and with Watson, man, those are three nice wing guys right
yes.
there.
They need an irrational confidence guy. They need somebody who's going to come out and thinks he's the best player on the floor
now,
at any point.
And I think at the same time, too, guys, this opens up also opportunities, more opportunities for Jalen Tyson, too.
You would think so.
Because you could put him at the two. You could put him at the two and whoever's at the point. So I'm not, I'm pleased. Well, we got to see how it's all going to work out. But you know what, Jeff, I still think we need a big.
I don't think there's any question. Maybe that's one of the reasons that they're going to waive Whitmore. You would assume they have 15 guys right now that they think they're going to keep on the roster right now.
Yeah,
and I wonder about Ken. I don't want to go too deep on everybody here, but Ernest Uday, the 6'11 kid from Miami.
Right.
I wonder if they think, okay, here's our third big.
Well, maybe. I mean, I didn't see a lot of him at Miami. Okay, he's intriguing. He probably will start with the G League first. I'm guessing.
I would think he'd get some G League minutes.
Yeah, and then if he does well, you bring him up. But you know, they've got a lot of other fringe guys that they've got to take a look at. Are they going to stay with the big club, or are they going to stay with the G League? But I you know, overall, you know, like I said, I think that this team. I wasn't real happy with Kobe, but he's redeemed himself somewhat. And at least we got some guys that can play multiple positions and are athletic and can shoot the ball.
Ken, I agree with you. Thank you, Ken. There's the mayor, Ken in Brooklyn. I think it was a week or two ago, Dan, people were shredding the Cavs. Disastrous offseason, blah, 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 blah. And I don't want to always be the voice of reason, not that I always am. But I just said, you know, the season doesn't start until October.
Yep.
There's a lot of time here. And when they traded Schroeder, I said here on the show, I said, it smells like there's a big trade coming.
Absolutely.
Well, there it was. And that, you know, it's not rocket science.
But anybody who's locked into the NBA would tell you that exactly partially what you said, but also that this has kind of been in the works for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a very non...
Oh, they've been talking about it for a long time.
It's a very non-Kobe Altman-like trade. Like, typically, Kobe Altman works in the quiet, and then all of a sudden, it just kind of blows up in front of you, and you're like, wow, I didn't see that coming. This one had been a long time coming. I mean, it clearly seemed like when LeBron picked where he was going to go, we heard they'd pivoted to Peyton Watson, and it feels like they had just been kind of working out the kinks in between until they could officially iron all of it out and go, all right, this guy's coming in, let's go.
Joe's in Cleveland. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys. Love the trade. 6'8" or 6'4" guy. And actually, I ain't worried about the size. You know, you got Allen and Mobley behind him. I think that just adds to it right there.
Absolutely.
You know, got Bryant. But, you know, he was there. He came in as a defensive player. And now his offense is turning into something, and he was their best offensive guy for the first part of the year because everybody was hurt on the Nuggets.
Absolutely.
So I really think he's got room to grow, fits in with the rest of the guys on the team. Hopefully, our last couple picks, if they step up a little bit, that Malik looks really good. So, yeah, I think it's a perfect fit. I ain't worried about that first-round pick that they gave up at all. No, I think this kid's going to show it. And I just don't know about that player option, though, don't really understand that one. I think it should have been more a club side, but I guess, you know, they kind of had us because they know that kid's a lot better than Kuminga, I think. Way better.
All right, Joe. Thank you very much.
Well, and I think part of it, too, was to entice him to take less cash. You know, we all kind of know the way that this works is usually more years or more money or more options. And so I wonder if they wanted to keep it because they knew what number they had in mind for James Harden because, sadly, you're stuck. And I think that's part of the reason why they went team or a player option on there instead of team option. So then that way, if he takes off at that point, he could opt out and get as much cash as he needs and could go elsewhere or whatever and give him more options. I could see why they did that.
I can, too. And, you know, if he happens to opt out, again, it gives the Cavs a little money flexibility, but I'm sure they don't want them to opt out.
No, they won't.
But it gives them an opportunity to say, hey, I'd love to stick around. How about more money?
Exactly.
Kevin's in Cuyahoga Falls. Kevin.
Kevin?
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Wonderfully well, thank you.
Dan, I think you vastly understated Peyton's ability when you say he can create a little bit of offense. Have you watched his dunk highlight reel?
Oh, yes, I have.
Talk about rim rattlers.
It was sent to me yesterday. It's why I used the word springy.
Springy.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, Donovan Mitchell now has a competitor to who's going to rim that rattler so much. I mean, this guy can bring it. And he gets, for a 6'8" guy, he gets down that lane so fast. I think definitely between him and Dean Wade, certainly athletically and athletic ability, we have increased a lot. Now, I understand he doesn't quite have the three-point shot. I get that. But you know
last year he hit 41%.
On three and a half attempts.
But how many shots, Jeff? He didn't take a lot.
Well, not a lot.
3.6.
Which, Kevin, is part of my thinking on this. They're paying a guy based on having one really, really solid year. His first 3 years, it was like, hi, I'm a developmental guy. And he developed, which is good. Yeah. And he got paid for it. So I hope for the Cavs' sake that the 1 year was not an aberration. And I hope that this situation doesn't kill his growth. And we'll explain that in the next segment.
I hear you, Jeff. I agree with you 100%. But I tell you one thing you can't take away is this guy's athletic ability. He certainly has all of that. Yeah. You say he's got the hops, he's got all that and then some. So I'm excited. I think it's a great trade. I think he's a phenomenal fit. And if he sticks to that selective three-point shot, not taking too many, and maximizes his percentage, I think he'll be a great fit for this team, and I'm super excited. So I say good job, Cavs. I'm excited, man. I can't wait to see this guy live and in person.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much.
I'm with you, Kevin. I'm excited. I want to see what this thing looks like. It's going to be fun.
Well, here's what it looks like now, okay? If nothing drastic changes, your starting backcourt is Donovan Mitchell, James Harden, okay? Harden's coming back. Dan, I know you're not crazy about that.
Yeah, I know.
The last thing I saw, are you sitting, Dan? It would appear that you are.
The best that I can.
3-year contract.
All right, I'm going to go lay down for a while. Just hold down the... Hold down the helm for a little bit. I got to go lay down.
That was the last that I saw.
I got to go lay down.
3-year contract for James Harden.
Why? Well, the highlight is he won't see the end of that because he'll have already demanded a trade.
Wow. At forward, Peyton Watson and Evan Mobley. Jared Allinger center. All right, so you've replaced Dean Wade or Max Strus with Peyton Watson. Good. I like it. Again, 6'8", athletic, doesn't shoot a ton of threes, but shot them well last year. That works. And then things get interesting. In the guard spot, your backups will be, and I would assume, we'll find out, because this is where it's going to get interesting. Dennis Schroeder was your backup point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you traded Dennis Schroeder.
Mm-hmm.
You brought in Trey Mann and then shipped him off to Washington. So he was, he ends up being part of this great big deal. Your backup point guard, you would think, is Craig Porter.
I'm okay with that.
Or can you play Jalen Tyson on the ball and have him facilitate?
I'm okay with that, too.
Is 6'3" star of the summer league, second-round draft choice, Malik Thomas, at the age of, 19 or 20, going to be able to be on the floor and play minutes for you and facilitate? Or is Tyrese Proctor going to be that guy? They're going to have to find a backup point guard.
Yep.
But they have several options on the team. Or, hey, Donovan, here, handle the ball. That's Sam Merrill over there. Kick it to him for threes. Donovan Mitchell can handle the ball and play a little point if need be.
Absolutely.
So they have enough options there that I think they have a backup point guard. At forward, behind Watson and Mobley, Mario Hezonja, who you just signed, who is the stud of the European League, which that and a couple of tickets will get you a couple of seats at the arena.
A lot of those guys have turned out to be pretty darn good, though. Guys who can help you out along the way. I hope he's one of them. He was talented coming out of the draft.
Oh, yeah, I like him, actually. But very rarely, doesn't mean it can't happen, do guys come to the NBA, they're a high draft choice, and after a couple of years say, yeah, I'm going back to Europe for 4 years. And then go back to Europe and then, hey, I'm coming back to the NBA. Watch me. And they're great. I expect him to be a part of the rotation, and I expect him to contribute. I don't expect him to set the world on fire.
Right. His salary tells you all you need to know.
Yes.
Which is that he's on a 1-year deal for $5 million. It's not like Luka Doncic is coming to town.
They're keeping, they're not keeping Cam Whitmore, according to reports.
Whoa.
Shame. To me, that was. Maybe I'm wrong. That was almost as exciting as Peyton Watson to me. Because I love the guy's game is just get out of my way. I'm going to the hoop. Oh, wait a minute. I'm stepping back and hitting a three. And he's feisty. And Naquan Tomlin, who I like, and hopefully they can continue to develop. And then behind Jared Allen at center, you have Thomas Bryant and Ernest Udeh. And I wonder about that. Is Udeh enough of a backup that that's your guy? Now, because in all honesty, I love getting Peyton Watson on this team. Let me rephrase that. I love getting a guy with Peyton Watson's profile on this team. 6'8", athletic, good defender, can hit the three, can get to the basket. I love that. Whether his name is Peyton Watson or whether his name is Bill Rabinowitz, whatever it is, I'm glad they got a guy like that. And they needed a guy like that. I like that.
Fast and springy.
However, how can it go wrong?
Well, I guess we have to go this direction now, don't we?
Yeah, well, you know, we're just kind of analyzing, doing little talking.
So my first fear with this is that his speed and athleticism will be awesome on the defensive side of the ball. And on the offensive side of the ball, they are going to play so darn slow that you're never going to see how truly fast and springy he is outside of well-placed back cuts. That's one of my fears. James Harden likes to play slow. Donovan Mitchell likes to play slow.
They both like to have the ball in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Although James is certainly a willing passer, but usually at a different tempo than you would like to see.
His tempo, which is slow.
Well, can be, yeah.
I don't remember the last time I watched James Harden on a fast break. I'm sure it exists. I'm sure someone could send it to me easily. I don't remember the last time I saw James Harden on a fast break. I've seen him, like, at the tail end cherry picking. I've seen that a whole bunch where he didn't get back on defense and they whipped it down the field or down the court.
Court, field, whatever.
Down the court. I've seen that a couple times, but I don't remember the last time I saw James Harden on a fast break.
I think that's clearly an aspect where this can go wrong. You've already seen it at times affect Evan Mobley. Yes, Evan Mobley issue is still there. To me, Donovan has to be willing, and I would think he would be. Donovan needs to be willing to, I think, back off on his usage a little bit, move the ball a little bit more. Hey, you can score 22 a game, and this could work out real well. And I would love to see James Harden average like 16 points and 10 assists per game. You know, I would say something silly like 12, 13, 14 assists per game. How about 10? Even 9.5, 9 assists per game. If James can back off the offensive mindset of scoring just a little bit, and you want him to score. I mean, James Harden's one of the most prolific scorers in NBA history. But in this situation, you have a young athletic dude in Evan Mobley. You got a guy who can get to the rim and get you baskets, as James Harden did with Jared Allen when they first teamed up together. And now you have another guy who you're paying pretty good money to. And only in the NBA would you say pretty good money is $88 million instead of great money. You're paying pretty good money to. And he just is coming off a career-high season where he averaged 14.6 points per game. Just for the sake of this argument, he's developed into that. First year, he didn't play much. He averaged 3.3 points per game. Second year, at the age of 21, 6.7 points a game for Peyton Watson. Third year, 8.1 points per game. He's never played more than he played this last year, where he played just under 30 minutes a game and scored 14.6 points a game. That's a real jump. From 8.1 to 14.6, and it's gone up every year. He's nearly, you know, he's added at least a point and a half every year to his scoring average. You didn't bring him in here, Dan, to score 8 points a game.
No, but you brought him in to score probably 15.
How about 13 even?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's got to score. You brought him in here to score double digits. I'll even go with that. And if he can score double digits, get you about 5 rebounds and play great wing defense, mission accomplished. But I do think the guards have to make sure that they get others involved, first and foremost. And Donovan will get his. James Harden will get his. And if James is really interested in the championship, no reason to think he's not, be the facilitator. Push that ball and go. So, that's one way this can go bad, but it's not the only way.
So the ideal James Harden that we have all dreamed of happened on the greatest hypothetical team ever put together, which was the Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, Brooklyn Nets.
Yep.
And it was the greatest hypothetical team ever put together because the three of them played like 12 games together or something like that. Like it was the COVID year. There were injuries. Harden came in midway through the year. Like it was ugly throughout the entire thing. But in that season, when he was with Brooklyn, James Harden averaged 24.6 points, 8.5 rebounds, and 10.9 assists a game. Now, I don't think he can do that anymore because Father Time comes calling for all of us. But I think if that turned into 20 points a game, 10 assists, 6 rebounds, we would all sign up for that in a minute.
Yeah. In 8 of Harden's 17 NBA seasons, he's averaged double digits in assists. So he's more than capable. I like his Philadelphia year. His second year there, because he averaged 21 and 10.7 assists and led the league in assists. He's led the league in assists twice.
Oh,
I mean, the guy can flat out pass.
He'll do that. He's a pick and roll maestro. I mean, he's one of the greatest pick and roll players we have ever seen in our lives. And he had Joel Embiid, and he just hit him with pocket passes over and over and over until they started doubling and tripling the pocket pass, and he'd kick out to the open 3-point shooter. I mean, he's one of the greatest pick and roll maestros we've ever seen in our lives.
He also, Dano, he didn't take a whole lot of shots here last year.
No.
I mean, he was under 14 shots per game as a Cav.
Until he hit the playoffs. Well, not even as much when he hit the playoffs. Okay.
It's the maybe the timing of some things.
Quietly as well, he's not going to the bucket as much as he used to.
Well,
now that's also father.
He's 37 years old.
Exactly.
Yeah.
At a certain point, you kind of get tired of getting bashed around under the basket.
Yeah, I get that.
It hurts.
How else can this not work? Well, and I think it involves James Harden a little bit here. If James happens to, and he's really durable, he has been throughout his career. If he happens to get hurt, who's going to handle the ball? I think you'll have something there. And then you've got a huge financial commitment to a guy who's 37. And again, he's been really durable in his career. He needs to stay durable for this team. Because though I like some of these guys, is it Jalen Tyson who would step up there? Is it Craig Porter who would take over at point, in which case you would have two small guards again? Is it Malik Thomas, who is really, really young? Obviously, Summer League was huge. He was great, but it's Summer League. And he's 6'3", so you'd have two small guards. Would Sam Merrill play and Donovan would play point? James Harden needs to stay healthy. I think that could hold this team back. And the last thing, I'll go back to a point that I've made that drives people nuts. You ever going to have Evan Mobley become what everybody hopes he can? Because that goes back to Harden and Mitchell making sure they move that basketball and put Evan in good positions. And now with another guy who can score on the wing. I mean, he's more of a scorer than Dean Wade.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
And that's beneficial to the Cavs. Get Evan his shots. Does that mean put him down low a little bit more? Maybe. That's great. But get Evan his shots and balance out the offense, and don't be quite as backcourt dominant as you can be.
And don't do the path of least resistance thing, which is you tell Evan Mobley, go stand in that corner.
Yeah.
And go hit 45% to 50% of your threes from that corner. That is the path of least resistance, where you play high screen and roll with Jared Allen and you spread the floor. Please don't do that, because that's how you stunt the growth so fast, is just go, well, the only time you're going to get the ball is in a catch-and-shoot situation.
Yeah,
because that's what fits for us right now.
See, Watson's offensive game has evolved. I would hate to see that evolution stop here.
Same.
You know, that's...
Don't tell him to stand in the corner either.
Right. And that's where it, to me, falls on Harden and Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you got this young guy. He's only going to be 24 years old. He's evolving. Help him. You know, let's turn him into a 15-point-a-game guy. That'd be great. You know, or keep him at 14, or drop him to 13. Make sure he averages double figures. Here's Evan Mobley. Is he ever going to be more than 18, 17 points and 8-9 rebounds a game? Not that there's anything wrong with that, but everybody's hoping for more.
Mm-hmm.
Help those guys. Help those guys.
Agreed.
And that's huge. Also, I think there's a little bit of an issue right now. Boy, you better hope Jared Allen can stay healthy. Is Thomas Bryant, is Ernest Udeh, are they the answers if you need another big man inside? On the other hand, you have enough offensive weapons, you think, on this team right now that if you ended up just putting a guy in there to play center a little bit, you don't need him for offense.
Would you play around with the idea of Evan Mobley at center?
Yeah.
With this team right now? And not have Allen on the floor?
No. Well, at times, yes, but I would start Jarrett.
Okay.
I would start the starting five we talked about. Mitchell, Harden, Watson, Mobley, Allen.
Okay. I'd be real tempted to play around with Evan Mobley as a center. At least.
And then who's your other forward? Jalen Tyson?
Yeah. Put like Tyson out there and maybe try some kind of four around one type of thing. And like just because I want to see
if. And bring Jarrett off the bench.
Maybe, I said, like 10-minute stretches. You know, in games where you go, all right, let's take this 10 minutes and let's see what this looks like.
Yeah.
If we put Evan Mobley at center and surround him with those shooters,
well, I don't mind
and see
it from
how
time
this plays.
To time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind it from time to time.
Just so that you got another card to play.
Absolutely. BP's in Pepper Pike. BP, get about 45 seconds, buddy.
How are you, BP?
All right. Hey, guys. Good to talk with you. I like this transaction a lot. You know, Peyton Watson, he definitely will help the Cavs. He's younger. He fits in with a timeline with Evan Mobley. You know, he's 23 years old. He's tall. There's a sequence from last year, from this past season. He blocked two shots in the same defensive possession against Phoenix.
Where I know the one you're outside. Talking about.
Yeah. I mean, it's making all the highlight reels. You guys got to check it out. He blocks somebody's taking a three. Then he blocks that shot, gets back into the middle of the paint. Then he blocks somebody going up for a layup. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you see from Giannis, you know. So that's very impressive for a 6'8" wing defender. That's what we need. You know, he's a lot better than what we had with, like, Keon Ellis. So, and his offense is developing. I love your guys' take on this. I mean, again, he's not a 10-time perennial All-Star, but he's a very good player that I think he's going to grow with the Cavs. So I love this transaction. Thank God Kobe Altman did something, and I think this propels us back into the top three or four in the East. But I do like this transaction a lot. He reminds me of a younger version of Jeremy Grant, who was a very good two-way mm-hmm. player back, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago.
BP, good thoughts. Thank you very much. BP and Pepper Pike. We're going to talk.